Hey there, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm your host, Susanne Reicher, and I'm so excited to be with you today. I have a really amazing guest today. Suze Chadwick is joining us.
Thank you welcome so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And so before we start, why don't you introduce yourself
to all the listeners? So I'm Suze Chadwick. I am a business and certified mindset coach. I live in Melbourne, Australia, which is home for me. But I did venture off to the UK for most of my 20s. So I was in London. I lived in London for 8.5, 9 years, where I met a Welshman and married him and brought him back, and have been in Melbourne after that ever since. And so I come from a HR and recruitment background and sales. So I used to work for a Big Four consulting firm for a while, and I worked for recruitment companies. And then when I came back to Australia, I had the opportunity to start an employer branding agency within the corporate that I was working in, which was an amazing opportunity. I am a big one for saying yes before you've figured it out and just building the plane while you're flying it. So I've done that a lot during my career. And I think it's taught me a lot, and I think it's built a lot of resilience. So when I came back to Australia and I was building that employer brand agency, I just knew that there was something else. I knew there was something else I wanted to do. I kind of felt like I wanted to do something on my own. And I had a couple of different iterations. I had a baby wear company. I was going to do a show where you could shop off the runway with one-off pieces. Like, I always had these ideas of different things that I wanted to do. And
when was that? Can you share that?
When did we get back? 2009. So that was like 2010, 2011.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was helping a girlfriend who had gone on maternity leave, and she wanted to start a business. And just over wine and a dining room table, I mapped out like all the things that she needed to do. So we mapped out what her brand strategy was going to be, what her products and services were going to be, what her pricing was going to be. And it just came very naturally to me because I had built up the brand agency from scratch. I had to do all of that anyway. And when I was in recruitment, I used to manage really large global sales teams. So we had profit and loss reports, and we had sales goals and all of that. So I just kind of accidentally discovered that I just really loved helping people to build businesses. And it was something that came really naturally to me. And so after I helped her to put that together, she sort of said to me, "You should maybe do this." And I was kind of like, that's such an interesting idea. And so she ended up referring me to a few friends of hers as well. And I ended up helping them structure their businesses and start to develop like sales and marketing strategies and how they were going to build their brand in the market. And that's kind of how I started. It was a little bit accidentally after looking for different things. But that was kind of where my natural inclination was. It was something that I really enjoyed and that came really naturally to me. And so I ended up going to some networking events in Melbourne, and I just kind of felt like I couldn't find my people. Like, I'd kind of go to networking events and it was a little bit dry and not very fun, and I don't know, it just didn't really work for me. So I just thought, well, I'll just build my own. So I started running events, and that's how I found my community. That's how I built my personal brand, and that's how I got my first clients.
I love it. So what do you do today?
I run online group programs, and I do one-on-one coaching, and I'm also a speaker. So I mainly work with women in business, but I speak at conferences and events about personal branding, about mindset, about building a business and a brand as well. And then I have a number of programs, and then I do one-on-one coaching, which I love.
I love your brand. So everybody check out Sue's website. It's SueChadwick.com, right? And it's so bold and colorful, really stands out. Has it always been that way, or was there kind of like an iteration to get there?
I have to tell you that when I first started my business and I wasn't 100% sure exactly whether I was going to do it or not, I was just testing it out. I like created my own stuff on PicMonkey. I'm like showing my age here because Canva wasn't around then. PicMonkey was the thing that people were kind of using.
PicMonkey is still around.
I feel like it's kind of, yeah, I feel like it's somewhere in the background now. But my branding was terrible. Like my visual branding was not good. And then probably about a year or so into business, maybe even a little bit more, I invested in quite a big branding photo shoot and with one of the women in my community who was a professional photographer. And that carried me through like the next few years. I got over 100 photos. We had lots of different like scenarios and dresses and all the rest of it. And I think that stepping into a more professional photo shoot really elevated my whole brand. And I use that across my socials and my website and all of that sort of thing. So I think that that was kind of a bit of a visual branding turning point when I made that investment and really went all out with it.
Yes, it's so important. I think pictures, like photos, make such a huge difference. I was lucky that way too. Then one of my yoga teachers in Bali was also a photographer, an amazing photographer, Heather Bonker. You can check her out. And so she offered a special deal back then, so really affordable photo shoot. And so I had like amazing pictures pretty much from the start. And I always, yeah, so I invested in like working with photographers, getting photo shoots like pretty consistently over the last years. This is like one of the first steps. I'm also always saying, because I had a website course, I'm working on an update right now. And before you hire like an expensive website designer, yes, invest in a photo shoot and then build something simple, yeah, yourself. Where would you like, let's maybe like walk through like, when somebody is getting started building their personal brand, or maybe they already have a business, but they really want to up-level it, do you have like a roadmap, like the steps, yeah, basically?
I mean, I think that when you're wanting to start out, I think it's just really important for you to make a decision about what you want to be known for. And I always say it's not what you do, it's what you're here to do. So, for example, somebody might say, well, I want to be a web designer. And I'm just like, okay, great. But what are you here to do? Like, what's that one thing that you're really passionate about that you want to like help people to achieve or transform or create? So for me, you know, I might be a business and mindset coach, but what I'm here to do is support women to become bold and powerful voices in the world and claim their space with confidence. And that has been my vision since like 2015 when I started. And so I think that really being deeply connected with that anchor of what you're here to do, I think just gives, when we talk about personal branding, that's what people will remember. That's what people will know you for. And so I think just getting super clear on that and the impact that you want to have just allows you to come at it from a much deeper perspective rather than, oh, I want to be known as like a really great business coach. And I'm just like, yeah, you and like 20,000 other people. And so it's really about what's the differentiator and also being able to articulate why you're passionate about that. So for me, one of the big things is that when I started my business, I would do brand strategy and business strategies for clients. And then a month would go past, 2 months would go past, and I'd be like, what's happening? And I discovered obviously all the mindset issues of not feeling good enough, not feeling confident enough, worried about what other people are going to say, like not ready, always, it's not perfect yet, all these things. And so I then ended up interviewing like 50, almost over 100 women on what all of the mindset issues were, all the things that they were feeling and thinking. And so that became my anchor, where it's like, I really want to help women to become those bold and powerful voices. And I want them to be able to claim their space with confidence because they feel excited, empowered, like they know that this is what they're here to do. And all of those other things, whilst it can still kind of be there in the background, because I don't think we ever get rid of it, I just think we learn to manage it better, then that doesn't hold them back anymore. And so all of my programs, all the things that I do, there's always got that element. It always ties back to the vision. And I talk about it
yes,
all the time.
Yes, I love that. I totally agree. Yeah, that's like the first step as well that I teach, because this is also what's going to keep you going when things get tough, and they will get tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that once you've decided on that, then I think that you've got the thought leadership piece as well. And I always say, I know what Brené Brown is known for, and I know what Elizabeth Gilbert's known for, and I know what Simon Sinek's known for. And I think it's about you hanging your hat on something as well. So what are the key pieces of thought leadership that you want to start to create that you then become known for? So my first book, which I published in like 2019, which is Play Big Brand Bold, the word bold I've always had in my business since 2014, and I've called a book, and I talk about that a lot. And when people talk about my business, they use the word bold as well. And so I think it's also just thinking about what are the words, what are the concepts, what are the elements around my unique thought leadership. And when we look at thought leadership, there's a number of things that I think that, as far as I've kind of got seven key elements of thought leadership that I talk to my clients about. And I think if you want to build your thought leadership, these are just some things to think about. Number one are your beliefs. Like, what is it that you truly believe that is really going to be the foundation of your thought leadership? And not being afraid to talk about it, not being afraid to say, something, if you're somebody who wants this, this, and this, then this is what I believe. And you can be part of my movement. You can be part of my community. You can be part of this thing that I'm wanting to elevate more. And so I think starting off with your beliefs, I think looking at things like collective research. So I love that, when I think about Brené Brown, a lot of the things that she talks about have come from different places. So even when I talk about my thought leadership, I cite people like Brené Brown, or I cite people like Elizabeth Gilbert, or maybe research that, Marty Neumeier, who's like the godfather of branding, is somebody that I cite, Chris Doe. And so I think that when we're also like, this is what I believe, this is my perspective on it, and it's really interesting that this person said this and this person said that. And I think that, not just bringing ourselves, but bringing other ideas into it and kind of creating a bit of a melting pot is something that can really help your thought leadership to stand out. I think the next thing around it is things like your own life experiences. So I share a lot of stories. When I talk about the very first time that I was a debater and I was 16 years old and I learned to become a bold voice, I had a teacher who was Mrs. David, who was this 4-foot-nothing Indian woman who used to wear a sari, and she was like the most fierce, powerful person who has been in my life. And I think that, bringing your stories into your personal brand really makes you memorable as well, because it's unique to you. It's something that only you can share, because it's your perspective, your experience, your stories as well. So those are just a couple. Do you want me to take you through some of the other things around thought leadership?
Well, no, more about like the steps basically to build a brand. So we already talked about also photography.
Yeah. So you've got your thought leadership, what you're known for. I think your assets as well. So for example, things like a podcast is really great to build your brand, because it's something that people can consistently come back to and really learn about you and connect with you, and also share your content with other people. So I think that you've got assets as well that can make it really powerful. for your audience and make it consistent. And I think make it easy. I think the one thing that I want to say about building a personal brand is that it is about that consistency and visibility. I think when you put those two things together, and it doesn't have to be, like, you don't have to be the biggest and you don't have to be the best, but I think that it's kind of a little bit easier to stand out when you are consistent and you are visible, because so many people just don't stick with it. Like, I mean, I don't know how long.
Yeah, I think the majority probably of people who start a business. And yeah, I think it's the energy exchange is so real there that if you want people to trust you and to invest in you, basically to hand over their hard earned money. Yeah, when you're just flaky or not reliable or not consistent in what you put out there, that's not going to put out the energy that makes people feel confident in their investment.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, them feeling like they can rely on you is a really big one. Like, I mean, we're now at episode 311 on the podcast. And, you know, so I've got clients that are like, I've listened to every single episode. You know, I've bought every single product. And I think that when it comes to your personal brand, I think them knowing that they can count on you, knowing that you're not like a blip in the pan, even when things are hard, you still show up. I think that, and also I think one of the things I love, people who I remember, people who I go back to, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. I think that when you think about your personal brand, you've also got to think about your values and what it is that you want to be known for, but also how you want people to experience you and the things that are important to you. Because I think that builds community around your personal brand when you share your values as well. So one of my values is around authenticity and transparency. And I share my fails as well as my successes. And I think that, you know, when we talk about that consistency and that visibility, I think it makes it more powerful when you've got that authenticity and that transparency, because that builds trust as well. You know, any personal brand that has longevity, I think has to have those things, because if people feel like you're not really being you, or you're kind of holding back, or everything's always amazing, I think it's hard for them to relate. And so you've just got to think about what makes your brand relatable. And I think stories are a massive part of that. You know, we were sort of talking about when you're building your thought leadership to really share stories. So, you know, that's something that I tell clients all the time is like, I want you to think about, like, when you're thinking about a particular piece of content or a particular content pillar that you want to share on, what are all the stories that you can share? Because people will always remember the stories that you share if they're personal to you.
Yeah, I love that. And I agree. I know it feels like it sounds kind of abstract to some people, but what should I talk about? Do you have some examples just to make it a little bit more real?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a journey. So I think the customer journey is an important one. And I'll give you an example so that it's really tangible for you. For example, you know, when, let's say I'm creating either a podcast or I'm creating social media content, I'll be like, who is the person that I'm wanting to speak to? I think we overthink this and we overcomplicate it. So I think it's important to simplify it. So for example, I might be like, okay, I love talking about personal brand. And so what's the journey? I might then break down all the different things that I talk about when it comes to personal brand, like how the story of, you know, my branding was terrible when I first started and then I got a professional photo shoot and why that matters. And I might talk about creating your thought leadership, and I might talk about, you know, fighting to share stories. And I think if you sat down and you really thought about, and I think this is where people get a little bit unstuck, is if you sat down and you thought about all of the steps that you've taken to get to where you are, and I think sometimes we're like, oh, so I did this and then I did this and then I did that and then I'm done. And I'm like, do you have any idea that there were like 1,000 steps that you went through if you've been around for a while? You know, and I know that you speak to yoga teachers and that sort of thing. It's kind of like, what were you like before your practice? What was the realization that you needed a practice? What was the moment that you decided that this was actually something really essential for your life? And then what were the ups and downs that you went through in order to get to where you are now? Who have been influential people in your life that have helped you to get to where you are now? What have been defining moments in your life where something failed or something was successful? What are your practices that you have now that really help you to continue to move on? Like, I can tell you now, anything that you do, you could probably break it down into 100 different things, but we gloss over. We gloss over, you know, our story. We gloss over all the ups and downs. We gloss over the hard, and we kind of like, I don't know what to talk about. And so I think that, you know, taking some time for you to write down all of those things and share moments. And if you find that hard, get a partner, like get somebody else who asks you lots of questions so that you can start to like make all of those notes. The other thing that we do is that we copy all of our content into a library. So I can go back to last year and pick up a piece of content and I can share it again. And I think that's the other thing. We think, oh, well, I've said that before. And I'm like, well, you said it before. You could say it again, or you could say it in a different way. But I think just really knowing the person, like one thing, and I know this is like really old advice, but it's so good. I always think about when I'm writing, I'm like, dear Megan, because I know who that client is. And I know what she's struggling with. I know that you don't feel good enough right now. Even though you've got all this experience, this new transition for you is hard and you're questioning yourself, even though you feel so passionately about it. Like, I want you to think about either yourself in a moment, or I want you to think about a client that you've had and really speak directly to them. Like, think about what they've struggled with. Think about what they've told you and go deep on the one thing.
That's so good. That's so good. So thank you. That makes total sense. Oh my God. I want to dive in a little bit more in your content library. Let's talk about that, because I feel like, you know, like I already have like, I don't know, like 300 blog posts on my website or 400. So I feel, yeah. I haven't done it because I'm like, oh my God, that just feels like such an huge project to take on. But for somebody who's just getting started, they could set that up right from the beginning. And that's going to be so amazing. Like moving forward. So yeah, tell us a little bit more about how you set that up.
At the moment, we've got it in Airtable. I would say you could have it in a Google Sheet, to be honest. And so what we've got is basically like the title of it and then the content pillar. So we're trying to keep it tight, where it's like, okay, is this about personal branding? Is this about money mindset? Is this about profitability? Whatever. So we might like narrow it down to like 5 or 7, yeah, so that each one aligns with one of them. Otherwise, it can get a bit hectic. And then what that allows us to do is that if I'm like, okay, I really want to talk about money mindset in the next podcast episode, I might just go and filter via that one column and be like, oh, I'm going to pick that topic and go talk about it. So we've got the title, you've got the content pillar, and then we basically just copy in what the caption is. Otherwise, we might list the link if it's a blog or if it's a podcast. So you could go and do that as well. The reason that I think that's really important to do is because I'm a big one for taking one idea and just sharing it across. So for example, even today, I shared a story on my Instagram. I shared the story to my email list. I shared the story on the podcast, you know, obviously with a message and a purpose behind it. But I think if I can go back and take a look at another story, I can easily like replicate that as well. So you can start to go back over your Instagram or wherever it is that you've been sharing content, copy the caption and put it in a Google Sheet if you're wanting something that's free and easy. And then you can always go back and you can repurpose it as a subscriber email, or you can repurpose it as, you know, a LinkedIn post or share it somewhere else. So I think that's like a very smart thing to do, because we create so much content.
I know. And it really, like, over time, when you're just getting started, you can't even imagine how much it's going to be over time. And so you also track then when you used it, because I think that's what why I really would want it. When I repurpose content, I'm a big fan of doing that, obviously. I want to also know when was the last time I repurposed.
Yeah, I mean, you can put in whatever information that you want as far as – so one of the things that we've got is, like, let's say we've got, you know, today's story and it's on whatever manifestation, and then I've got like a tick box where we've got, you know, email, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, podcast. And so then I tick like where we used it. And so then I'm like, oh, well, we haven't done a podcast on that. Let me go and do a podcast on that. So we're kind of building it out as well, because I'm like you, I have a ridiculous amount of a back catalog of information. But, you know, I was even talking with, I've got a little group of a brains trust, other online business owners that I chat with. And I was just sort of saying, I'm even thinking of doing more on YouTube, but just going back to old podcast episodes, taking the framework from the podcast episode and doing a video. And it might have been a podcast episode I did 5 years ago, but it still stands. And so I think that's the other thing, is just always revisiting. This is the thought leadership piece. Like revisiting the things you've already created, really valuing what you've created as well. I think sometimes we're in a very disposable content time where it's like, oh yeah, I created that and now I'm done with it. And I'm like, no. Like, you can squeeze so much more juice out of that. Like, you could expand on it. You could break it down. You could turn that blog post into like 7 like captions. Like, there's so much you can do with it. So I think that it's better to be smarter with what you've got, because then when people hear it again and again, you become known for it. It's something that they associate with you, because you always talk about that thing. And remember, we have to listen to things 7 or 10 times before it sinks in.
Yeah, that's so good. Actually, when it comes to like repurposing, or like, you know, like, do you use ChatGPT in your business? Do you have any tips on that? Like, how do you use it? Because I think it's like people are really struggling with that. You see more and more content, especially on Instagram, that just like where you just know it's been written by ChatGPT and it has no personality in a way. So how do you use it in your business?
The way that I use it is that I write and then I use it to copy edit. So for example, especially like with when clients send me things as well, and it's a bit formal and a bit stilted, and I'm just like, just put it through ChatGPT. It's not about just putting it through and then leaving it. It's kind of going to help you massage it. It's going to help it be more conversational. It's going to help it flow a little bit more. And then you can go in and just change anything that doesn't work or where the language isn't right as well. I feel like right now I've kind of nailed what my tone of voice is. So it now writes for my audience and my tone of voice, because it's, you know, it's something that I've used on a regular basis. So I think the first thing that I would say is, anytime you write, be descriptive about it. So for example, write this ad copy is for a workshop that I've got coming up. The workshop is about blah, blah, blah. My audience are women in business between 2 and 6 years. They struggle with this, this, and this, and make it conversational and casual tone of voice. Make it, you know, conversion copy with a call to action sort of thing. And then it, you know, be descriptive with it, and then put, see what comes out. And then I sometimes will copy and like edit some of it and put it back through the machine kind of thing. And I'll just be like, you know, get rid of the emojis. No slat.
They put in so many emojis. Like, what does it put? Like, always like end. 2 emojis, one after the other. I'm like,
so
why?
Like that. So you learn. So I think be descriptive with what you want. Be specific about who you're talking to, what their problem is, how you want it to sound. And now when I put something in, I have to say it's probably about 90% there, which is amazing, but I use it a lot.
That's amazing.
I use it a lot, but I would never just use it and then, you know.
No, I use it a lot too. And I also have a podcast episode on how to get started using ChatGPT, so you can listen to that. And I think what I'm going to do now is also really going to go back to my to my content library, look at like older blog posts or podcast episode scripts and feed that into ChatGPT to copy, edit,
and you know,
make it
something
better.
I saw, when was it? I was doing some research and it said that old blog posts, like if you continue to make them better, can increase your website traffic by like 460% or something like that. So that's something else that we do, is that we look at our Google Analytics. We take a look at which pages or blog posts or pieces of content have been doing well. And then we go in and we kind of build it up a little bit. We make sure all the links, like the sales links, are up to date. And then we might go and write more content on that particular topic if it's generating like more organic views to the website too. So I think that, you know, definitely looking at ChatGPT for what some of the, you know, latest topics are that people are searching on under your niche, I think is a really good one. Putting through copy that you've already written to make it better is another good one. I think getting it to do research for you, if you're somebody who likes to share information and stats about what's happening in the market, then it's great for that too. So I think that there's lots of different things, but I wouldn't be scared of it. I think for me, I've just played with it and it's gotten better over time. I don't rely on it. It is a tool that I use.
Yeah, it's like a little copy editor.
It's great. So I definitely would. And I think, to be honest, it's only going to get bigger and bigger. So I think if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I'm just not sure, I would say even if you start slowly, get into it and start to understand it, because it's an amazing tool for business owners. I think it can save you a lot of time and money, and I think that it's only going to get bigger and stronger. So you probably want to get in now.
Yeah, I love that. What I would say though is not just to use it to put out like a ton of content that doesn't have your voice or your stories or your personal take on things, because you're going to see that a lot more everywhere as well. That content that's like reads perfect, you know, like that is like beautifully written and but very interchangeable. You don't want to sound like Wikipedia or like a magazine article.
And I think this is where your stories
I think that's important. That's where your stories and having that clarity around your brand and what you stand for and what you want to talk about comes in, and why it's so important.
Absolutely.
I think it's like personal branding is like, it's going to be even more important to have a strong personal brand in 2024.
Yeah, and I think that's where the market's going. That's what everybody's talking about, because at the end of the day, when you've got so many businesses and so many solopreneurs, there's only so many that will kind of rise to the top. But also, it's not about being the biggest and the best in the whole market. It's about being great in your market. So I also just want to be like, you know, you don't have to have millions of followers. I think it's just about, how do you create a community that works for you, for your business, for your personal brand, for what you're here to do? And sometimes small and mighty is just as important as big and bold. So I also think that, you know, for people who are just like, I really love to have a tight-knit community and be building my personal brand within that community, that I think that's great as well. So I think, you know, you don't have to be everywhere all the time, but I do think that there are some really amazing tools right now that can help you be omnipresent without it costing you loads of time and money as well.
Yes, definitely. And use all that you have. That was really, really helpful and actionable. I'm sure that listeners are going to get so much out of that. Where can people go to learn more about you?
You can go to suzchadwick.com, so SUZCHADWICK, and I'm Suz Chadwick on all of my platforms, so TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me everywhere at Suz Chadwick as well.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise here with us. This
You're so
was
welcome.
Amazing.
Thanks for asking me.
Thank you. Hey, Hey there, interrupting for a short announcement. I'm hosting a virtual bootcamp to help you kickstart your online business from May 6th to May 10th, and I would love to see you there. It's the Make Your First or Next $5,000 online bootcamp, and you can save your spot for this free virtual event when you go to my website, susannereiker.com/bootcamp. That's susannereiker.com/bootcamp. I'm going to go live every day from Monday to Friday with a live training on how to elevate your vision, choose your profitable niche, amplify your content, nail down your signature offer to make your first or next $5,000. I can't believe how freaking fun, valuable, and powerful this virtual event is going to be. You'll get 5 live stream trainings, all of the recordings in case you can't make it live or need to leave early, access to my new community, the Midlife Biz Hive, including tons of additional trainings for you to dive in, the chance to ask any questions in our calls or in the community. It'll be amazing. This event is a real game changer, whether you're just starting out or you've been at it for a while, but feeling a bit stuck around the maybe $2,000 to $3,000 monthly mark. If you're eager for more and ready to figure out the online business puzzle, this is the perfect place to kickstart your journey to bigger and better results.